We call the Sunday nights in the summer family nights, and tonight I want to be a little bit specific, and I do this every once in a while, and I wanna sort of scripturally talk to the men, but if you're married, that means you're one, so we're talking to you too, or maybe you're gonna get married, so you'll marry a man if you're a lady. Or maybe you have sons, or maybe you'll be helping somebody. But everybody, this is for everybody. Isaiah chapter 3 is a little bit of a pronouncement of God's judgment. Isaiah chapter 3. Brother Jeremy, I think I'm going to skip that, so you could relax back there. Isaiah chapter 3, verse number 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. It's an economic judgment. The mighty man and the man of war, male leadership, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes. So who are children? Princes, leaders. That's a judgment. When children are bossing their parents around, that's judgment. Something's not right. Something's not right. That's little children. That's babies. You know, well, you know, they're going to cry. They're going to cry anyway. Babies cry. Don't let the babies run the show. Don't let the four-year-olds run the show. You say, well, they, my child, he has a temper tantrum. And? Okay, that's all right. There's ways to de-temper tantrum him. That's what, it's duct tape. I've never tried that. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. That's disrespect for the elderly. Disrespect for older people. Against the ancient. And the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under the hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of the glory, of his glory. To show their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors. And by the way, we live in a day where children, say, what do you mean? Our hearts are broken because our children are, I don't mean ours, I don't mean yours and mine, but just in our nation, because of rebellious children. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people. By the way, That's a judgment from God. We don't need women mayors. You say, why do we have women mayors? Because there's not enough men. So why are all these women pastors? Not enough male pastors. I mean, you shouldn't have a woman pastor in the first place. But there's a vacuum there. It's unscriptural whether there's a vacuum or not. But as for my people, children are the oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of the paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. Father, help us as we see that part of your judgment was to lose male leadership. And Lord, help us as men to see that you have put us in our proper place. We were men before we were Christians. There's a place for Christian manhood. And Lord, help us as we are being attacked from many different avenues. And encourage us and teach us, we pray, and challenge us to be the man that you desire us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I've said it before, and I don't plan on stopping. What our families need, our churches need, our communities need, and what our country need are godly men that will be warriors for God. Men. Our nation is on life support. I remember just about a month ago, Lisa Rodriguez's sister was, they said that she's probably going to die in the next couple days. She's in her early 60s. I want to say she's about 62. And if you know anything about hospice, when they say, well, you know, we think you need hospice care, usually what that means is there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. And we're gonna do what we can to make your loved one comfortable. And they give them morphine, and they give them different, just try to take away their pain until they die. Lisa's sister, she didn't want to die. And she didn't want hospice. And she didn't want them to take her off of life support. She wanted to live. I remember my mother, she had breast cancer, and then in their tests, they come to find out she had lung cancer too. And we did the chemotherapy, and you know, many of you have had family members go through cancer. And they said, you know, it's hospice time. You know what I said? We don't want hospice yet. We got online and we researched. We didn't want her to die. We didn't want her to die. And we looked on. We did everything that we could, and we said, you know what? We're gonna. We said, Mom, we got a little DVD, and we said, we want you to watch this. And it was just about a Laetril treatment and going to Mexico. They don't have that here, and my sister and I, she said, okay, I'll do it. She didn't want to die. She didn't want to go through hospice right now. And we got her in the car, and she had a cancer stroke, and part of her body was paralyzed. And we got her in the car, and we drove her down to Mexico, and we went in. You say what? We didn't want her to go on hospice. We didn't want to give up. And we got her down there, and unfortunately, she died in Mexico. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but it seems to me God's about to say America's about to go on hospice care. And I'll tell you this, When I think about it, I weep. I don't want to give up on America. America is in dire straits. John, you know, basically that little DVD, and we're going to send that whole that little show, documentary to the whole church. You know what that is? It's an X-ray of America. It's sad. You know, unfortunately, and I feel like I have some responsibility. We as American Christians, we don't even know what's going on. This country's in trouble. Every way that you, and here's the sad part about it. We're all getting immune to it. We're getting immune to what's going on. Say, what do we need? Of course we need God. But God's tool has always been for men to rise up to the occasion to do their part. Say, well, what about the ladies? I've found this. If you get the men to do right, the ladies will follow. Say, what's wrong with our ladies? I'll tell you what's wrong with our ladies is what's wrong with our men. The ERA movement, the feminist, domineering wives, overprotective mothers, and our society as a whole is taking our God-given manhood. Realize God has made us as men uniquely different from women on purpose, with a purpose. God highly respects our manhood. You know, 64 out of 66 of the books of the Bible were written by men. You say, Pastor, what? We know this. I know we forget it. The Levites were men. The priests were men. The kings were men. Most all the judges were men. The major prophets were men. The minor prophets were men. The deacons were men. The pastors were men. They were 12 disciple men. Jesus was a man. Daughters is mentioned in the Bible 541 times. Sons is mentioned 2,030 times. Mothers are mentioned 299 times. Fathers are mentioned 1,311 times in the Bible. Does that mean God loves men more than women? No, he doesn't, but there always has to be a leader. There has to be a catalyst person, and God chose it to be men. Men are pretty important. We need to take our roles and our responsibilities and grab a hold of them with the Bible and God in one hand and with the manhood that God has given us and go for it and take care of our responsibilities. God has created man with desire for exploits. Daniel 11:32, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The word exploits means notable, daring acts. Men, you were created not to sit in a room playing video games for 5 hours. By the way, part of you wanting to blow things up is something God put in you so that you can go blow up the sin and blow up the devil and blow up the things that aren't supposed to be in your home, not playing around with video games all day. You say, with anybody in this church tonight be playing video games? Yes, they would be. Say, why? Because we have a country filled with teenage boys, single men, middle-aged dads, and older just playing around. See, what are exploits? How about having just a godly family? So that in your neighborhood, you say, well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a youth pastor. These men here, they're not pastors, but you know, they're doing exploits for God. How about being the family in your neighborhood? When you walk outside, the neighbors say, that's what I want for my family. And that's going to happen when there's a dad, there's a father, there's a husband that has discipline and character and love and godliness. And they say, you know what? We might not be able to line up with all that, but that's what we want. And then when the season of the soul comes, they know who to go to. They don't go over to the Kingdom Hall. They don't go to the Mormon whatever. They go to the Baptist guy right down the street. Or maybe you are here. Maybe you will be a church planter. Maybe you can do exploits for God. Don't waste your life, young people. God made us different. God made men and women different. And some of you guys, quit acting like a lady. I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just saying, listen, God made you different. You guys that like to hang out with girls all the time, there's something wrong with you. I'm not saying you shouldn't like girls. We were taught if you touch the girls, you're getting expelled from college. But if you don't want to touch them, you're getting expelled too. God made us different. Women want safety. Men are risk takers. By the way, ladies, Ryan Raw, he's hung out at my house all day. We tried to get rid of you. You wouldn't leave. Okay, thanks. He said, Pat, and there was such good insight, Ryan. He said, Pastor, I think I got something. He said, ladies don't like risk. And I said, right. He said, but you know what? I think what it is, a lady's, so it's like she doesn't need faith. But he said, I think the faith that she needs is to trust that God gave her that husband and let him take the risk. And her faith is in God and trusting that God, that husband's not going to mess everything up. Something like that. That was pretty good, Ryan. You ought to write a booklet on that. Ladies like safety. Men like to risk. Ladies want stability. Men like change. Ladies like harmony. Men like conflict. Ladies like predictability. Men like variety. Ladies want protection. Men want, and by the way, nothing wrong with any. This is how God made ladies. And by the way, men, you need to protect your wife. Men are adventurous. Ladies want comfort. Men want competition. Oh, John, our ref, he said, Pastor, you got to go to some of these games. He said, you got to go to some of these basketball games. He said, you got to go to the older men basketball games. Ladies like nurture. Men are daring. Men are risk takers. Listen, God made us to take risks. That's how you exercise. But we're not saying be careless, but exercise faith. Don't be so secure, guys, to not step out and do something for God. We're given a personality by God that tends to have more faith. By the way, the number one killer of ages 15 to 24 males are accidents. You say, why? Because they're running a yellow light. They're going somewhere. I'm not saying run a yellow light, run a red light, but men are just, they're risk takers. We can make this. And the train runs them over. By the way, do you know young men, their car insurance is more expensive than young ladies? You say, what? We're risk takers. I'm not saying be clumsy and careless and go kill somebody, but God's made us that way. That's why God called Paul, Barnabas, Timothy to plant churches and not Priscilla, Mary, Martha, Phoebe, and Sarah. Men are challenge-oriented. God didn't come to Mrs. Noah and say, Mrs. Noah, build the ark. Can you imagine building the ark? He went to Mr. Noah. Said, Mr. Noah, I want you to build this ark. What a challenge. That's why Jesus went to, now it's a command to all of us, but especially to men, go ye into all the world. And then the ladies will come with us. Don't allow our culture or our society to change you or your sons. Be who God made you. You're a man. Brother Stalnecker preached a message on Christian manhood. I'd never heard it before. He said, you know God made you a man before he made you a Christian? Man, that slapped me in the face. He said, God gave you the gift of being a man before you ever got saved. You, some of you boys, or maybe young men, maybe you, and I'm not saying this being humorous, but maybe you were a mama's boy. You say, what's a mama's boy? Mom spoiled you. Oh, come here, honey. You got a boo-boo. Okay. Where's my son Nathaniel over here? That, he has the potential to be a mama's boy. Sit up straight, son. Sit up straight. There you go. But his four older brothers, they won't let him become a mama's boy. Man, they push him around. They mess with him. They give him such a hard time. He is not going to be a mama's boy. Be careful, lastborns. You know, lastborn. You know the, how many lastborns out there? Put your finger up. Yeah, tiny. I could tell you're a lastborn. The Cambodian people call them Bo. So what are lastborns? You be careful. You take their manhood out of them. They'll start talking like this. Say, why? Because you babied him. Oh, well, he's the only one we got left. Treat him like a young man. Some grew up with too many sisters. And God contemns being effeminate. Say, how do young men, being effeminate doesn't mean you're a sodomite. Being effeminate means you're feminine. Sometimes you're feminine because you hang out with girls too much. We must understand that God created these faith instincts. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. 14 out of the 15 names in Hebrews chapter 11 are men. We were created differently. God made us different. We're created differently than women. We were born with these faith instincts. I know girls climb trees, but most of the time it's a boy that's climbing a tree. Brother Ryan's boys were at my house. They were playing hide and seek or playing tag or something. They were on my roof. Now, Joanna played with them for a little bit. You were afraid I was going to say that. But she didn't climb up on the roof. They're climbing on the roof. Now, sure enough, one of them's going to break their leg. That's okay if your boy breaks his leg. Remember as boys, and I mentioned this before, as boys, remember what we'd do? It would rain, there'd be a big puddle, we'd make a ramp. Remember that? We'd make a ramp, and we're like, we thought we were Evel Knievel. We'd get that thing and, okay? Most girls don't do that unless they've been hanging out with their brothers too much. You say, what is that? God put something in us to go out and do something great for him. Amen. 93% of occupational deaths are with men. You say, why? They're trying to do something. You're laughing over here, Mario. They're trying to do something on the construction site that no man can do. Men, God created us like this, to start a bus route, to start a ministry, to take a spiritual risk. Listen, I live in spiritual risk. I live in spirit. Everything. I remember when we first started, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and this is the first time I mentioned it. When we first started the process of that building, had one of our good men in our church, he's emailing, he's going, ain't going to happen, Pastor. And he starts saying, you know, the homosexuals in the city, they're not going to let. And by the way, he was sort of right. They were the ones that under the radar, they were going to the city and they were attacking us. I'm glad I didn't let the risk of coming to the church and say, folks, we're going to need a new building. We're going to need some more space. And we went out and praise God, we did it. By the way, thank God for the good men and good ladies in our church that also we took a risk. We took a risk of spending the money to get the drawings and go to the city and all that, and now we're going to have a building. Amen. Starting a bus route. Brother Kyle, we had the church planters yesterday, and we met and we had a little training. And Brother Kyle taught about, he started a new bus route. Let me say this. Don't be afraid to fail, man. By the way, if you haven't failed a bunch of times, you're not being a real man. You say, why? Well, yeah, because real men, they say, let's go do it. You say, well, wait a minute. But some people, they get the paralysis of the analysis. Well, you know, I've got to do some research on the website. Listen, do your research and then pull the trigger. Some of us, we don't know the key to the trigger. It's stuck there. Sometimes you just got to pull the trigger and say, let's not go half-cocked. Let's pray and let's get some counsel. Let's get some advice and then let's go do it. Brother Ron back there, he said, Pastor, the worst decision I ever made was to buy my business. But he said, the best decision I ever made was to buy my business. Say, what do you mean? There's some risk and there's been some challenges. And, you know, they're now out of that valley and they're doing okay. Brother Kyle started a new bus route. You say, what might happen if you start a new bus route? Nobody comes. And guess how many people came on his first day of his first bus route? Did you have promotion? Tell me what you had planned for the first day. Big program, candy, chips, soda, the whole deal. You know how many kids came? Two. How long did you visit? How many weeks did you visit ahead of time? 6 weeks ahead of time. Wow. What a failure. No, that bus route became the biggest bus route in the whole church. You know what? He said, I'm going to go after it, and saw many, many people saved on that bus route. We must detect faith instinct killers. God has made us in such a way, whether it's a missionary going to Africa, 24 years old, you were 24, Dr. Hogg, 24 years old. Most 24-year-olds can't get their finger off the video game. 24? Oh, you're going to the mission? By the way, back in those days, listen, they didn't have email to keep in touch with everybody. Okay, that was a few years ago. Okay, they probably didn't have a McDonald's on every corner where Dr. Hawking was. Okay, probably didn't have the greatest health care in Africa, but he says, you know what? Though none go with me, I'm going to follow God's leading in my life. God called him to be a missionary when I think you say you're 17, about 17 years old, and he went to the mission field. You say, why? God put the instincts of faith in him to let's go take a risk. You say, what might happen when you go to Africa? You might die. Dr. Hawking, I got this list of all these people that went, missionaries that went to Africa that died. You know, there's a lot of AIDS in Africa. But because Dr. Hawking took the risk, well over 100 churches have been planted in Africa. Amen? There's risk, or there's faith instinct killers. Our culture. Dads, you protect your boys from this effeminate. And by the way, don't think when I say that word effeminate that it's just a word I'm just pulling out because I don't have anything. There is an agenda in America to feminize our boys. And it's through many different avenues. One is the public school system. Our government, you got to watch the movie. There's an agenda, there's a purpose, and they are doing well. You know, there's some playgrounds the boys can't run. Our culture is robbing our faith instincts. Feminization of males is killing that God-given instinct that God has given us. Secular psychologists are teaching our Christian men to be too sensitive. Now listen, we're married. We have wives. Treat them like they're a China doll. Then go out and do exploits for God. You don't need to be overly. Listen, you. Sometimes I want to weep. I'm like, listen, my heart was just, I was going over the message today. I'm like, my heart, I'm thinking, our country is about to go to hospice. I do not want to give up. Guys, let's quit getting our feelings hurt. I know, listen, I might get my feelings hurt every once in a while, but I cannot believe. And men, you comfort your wife, but don't get in the little quagmire of, oh, honey, we're just, come on. Be a man and say, honey, it's going to be okay. Everything's okay. We understand that sometimes Brother David Garcia is a little mean, but he's a wonderful Christian. He didn't mean to offend you. We're just all going to get hurt sometime. It's going to be okay. You didn't say anything, David. You're the first guy I saw back there. By the way, girls, don't make the mistake. Girls are attracted to effeminate guys. You say, why? Because they're a girly man. They just feel like they're with one of the girls. Girls, you better get yourself a guy that's strong enough to protect you, sensitive enough to love you, grace, filled with grace and truth like Jesus was. Oh, he's so nice. Be careful about those. You know, I got a book. It's called No More Mr. Nice Guy. Christian schools. Do you know Christian schools, if we're not careful, we're protecting. Listen, I'm for protecting the girls. I'm for protecting the boys. Let me tell you something. I'm glad that my boys were in the inner city bus routes when they were just little guys. And they saw what was going on. They were protected. We have a Christian school here to protect them. But you know what? Listen, I did not want them to be just little soft soaping boys. And they're 17 years old and they're afraid of a butterfly. They started on the inner city bus routes. Joseph was a bus captain at 16. Tim was a bus captain at 17. And they were bus workers, and then they became bus captains, and they're going there. And, man, they'd come home and make me nervous sometimes. Ah, Dad, you know, there's a roadblock. Someone got shot today. I'm going, oh, my soul. Churches. Most churches have an effeminate, cautious, careful culture. By the way, this is something that in the last 50 years, we've made Jesus into someone he's not. Sloppy agape. And so now you go in the church and all the colors are pastel. And church is effeminate. I don't mean our church, but maybe some. 65%, about 65% of the people that attend church on Sunday are women. 62% of American men have passive personalities. 85% of American men that go to church have a passive. These are statistics I got from, I think that's the book, Why Men Hate Church. Men that have not had their manhood taken out of them by somebody, some school, maybe some parent, some girl, somebody. 85% of American men that go to, this isn't my survey, this isn't my research, I don't have a research team, and I don't know how accurate this is, but according to this survey, 85% of American men that go to church have a passive personality. God help us. Men, we can be loving and also spiritually strong and have faith instincts and be a man and be in church. Give me I just can't see John the Baptist. Come on, he's eating locust. That just doesn't seem too effeminate. Do you know one reason Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world? Because it attracts men. It's a male religion. Now, I do not condone the religion. I don't condone how they are. I don't condone how they treat women. But they're attracting men. That those men are the heads of the households, and it's growing like a cancer. Some of us need to evaluate our faith instincts to see if they've been dulled down by our effeminate culture. Men, we must realize that we are God's agent to make a difference in our family, in our church, in our community, in our nation, and in our world. thank God Samantha's going to the mission field. But for every Samantha, we need five men. She's a single lady. Unfortunately, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, more single ladies go to the mission field than single men. I'm not pushing single men or single ladies. It'd be good if you get yourself a good gal and then go to the mission field. But the point is, where are the men? The key to a healthy church is good, godly men. By the way, we have wonderful men in this church. This is Sunday night. I'm glad to see all these men in church. Acts 16, 30-31, the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." We don't believe in a covenant theology. We don't believe if you're saved, everybody's saved. But do you know, and this is also in the book, and I don't know, I can't verify their research, but 93% of the time, if the dad or the man gets saved and on fire for God, the whole family does. 17% of the time, if a lady gets on fire for God, the whole family does. Men, you're important. God has given you that influence that can influence a family and a church and a ministry and a country and a world. By the way, our country can be changed with a few. The Gideon 300. We met with the church planters yesterday, and I'm done. And in Virginia, at one time there were anywhere between 45 and 70 Baptist preachers in prison. In Virginia, not Virginia, Russia, Virginia, USA. And to make a long story short, those Baptist preachers said, "You know what? We're not giving in." They kept winning souls, and they kept planting churches, and they kept going to jail. And when they came out, they were just like Paul. They went right back to it. To where Virginia, they begin to call it a Baptist state. 4 out of 7 residents of Virginia were Baptist Christians. It was those Baptist Christians, John Leland, that influenced their influence gave us our freedom of religion. I'm not going to go into the whole story. I've done it before. Our country can be changed with a few, just a righteous remnant. By the way, who knows? Who knows what maybe a church like ours or churches like ours, if we just say, "Look, man, let's quit playing around. Let's do what God wants us to do." Maybe, look, this country is not getting better, and it's not going to get better by osmosis. It's a shame what's going on. And we're being influenced by it. Wouldn't it be something if maybe a church like ours or several churches like ours could make a difference because some men said, "Let's rise up and let's do what we can. Let's not allow our country to go on hospice care." I'm going to quote, you know, the communists, they, about a 50-year period of time, they almost took over the whole world. Lenin said this: "The organized minority will beat the disorganized majority every time." He's right. Probably the first and last time I'll quote Lenin for good. Wouldn't it be good if we can just organize? That's what I was telling the church planters yesterday. Maybe we can organize. Maybe we can organize a church planting movement that can spread to make a difference. But where's it going to start? It's going to start with godly men. Let's bow our heads and let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed.